Writer and oral historian Eddie Lenihan will tell you that fairies are not fiction. Lenihan has traveled up and down his native Ireland, recording ordinary people's stories of encounters with fairies, stories they insist are true. Lenihan published a collection of these oral histories a few years ago. It's called Meeting the Other Crowd. Here's one of his stories, told to him by the foreman of a road construction crew.
Now, 'twas the month of October. This old man, Michael Noon is his name, he was telling me that they started work, and 'twas miserable weather. And when they arrived, there were the workmen, leaning on their shovels, nothing happening. So he made his way into the middle of the workers, and he said, "What's going on here? Why aren't you working?" And one of the workers, he just pointed straight in front of him, there, straight in front of where the road should be going, to a little bush, a white thorn bush standing alone in front of them. And now, you see, in Ireland, a white thorn bush standing on its own, a lone bush, is known as a scach, in Irish, a fairy bush. And there was no way that any one of those workers was going to shift that bush out of it. No chance. Now, the foreman, he says, "All right," he says, "a bush. Shift it." No way. No chance. So then he says, "Right, lads, if you don't cut down that bush, you're going to be without jobs this evening." So when it was put like that to them, very much against their will, they got the saw and they cut. And now, Michael told me himself, he was there that day and he saw it with his own eyes, and so did the rest of those men. They had only two pulls across the bark of that bush with that saw when it started bleeding. Well, he said, those men, they jumped back and they flung the saw from them. He said, "It was a wonder somebody else didn't get hurt with the bloody thing. It flew. And there was no chance that anybody would touch that bush after that." And Michael told me, he said, it was never cut after that. And the proof of it, he said, "Look, you can go and see it yourself." He told me where it was. And sure enough, the bush is still there, and the little nick in the back where the saw cut it. And that's 50 years later. And more to the point, the road that they were building, abandoned.
Storyteller and folklorist Eddie Lenihan. Now, that story happened 50 years ago. Surely people in Ireland aren't still that superstitious. At least that's what Steve Paulson assumed. Eddie Lenihan corrected him.
How do you account then for in 1999, where the same thing happened near Shannon with the huge new highway, 25 million euros highway, and they did the very same thing to avoid another one of those white thorn bushes?
Didn't you yourself get into a controversy about a road?
Well, that was the one.
That was the one in 1999.
Yes, indeed.
And you said you cannot build, you cannot take down this bush, you cannot send a road through here. And the authorities backed down and they rerouted the road.
I had the tapes of the old people who had the stories handed down to them. You see, the story there was that in the olden times, around that bush, the fairies of Munster, the province of Munster, would be fighting the fairies of Connacht. And when there'd be battle coming up, they'd gather from every fairy fort in Munster, Kerry, Cork, Waterford, Tipperary, wherever, and they'd come across the River Shannon and they'd collect around that bush. That was their staging point. And then off they'd go northwards to fight the fairies from Connacht. And, all right, sometimes they'd win, sometimes they'd lose in their battles, but when they'd be coming back, dragging their wounded and their dead with them, they'd collect again around that bush. That was their collecting ground again. Hmm. Now, the man that told me the story about that, he was a cattle drover. On several occasions, he had, very early in the morning, maybe at 3 or 4 in the morning, he'd have to collect cattle in that field where that bush grows. He told me that he had seen on several occasions in that field, around that bush, lumps of stuff, we'll say, with the consistency of liver, but greenish. And immediately he knew that the night before, the fairies had been fighting. Because, you see, the fairies' blood isn't red. It's greenish, palish colour.
Now, I have to say, this is not the usual picture that we get of fairies. I mean, these are not cute creatures with wigs and pretty dresses flying around. You're talking about a whole different kind of fairy.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Because these ones, forget about the Tooth Fairy, forget about Walt Disney and all of that. You're tangled with these boys, and you're dead. It's as simple as that. If you look at the last story in this book, Meeting the Other Crowd, I often tell people, if you want to sleep the night, start at the start of the book. If you don't want to sleep the night, read the last story in the book first, The Shanaglish Weaver. This is a story about a man who sets buds, potatoes, in a fairy fort. He was warned, you don't do that. But this fellow was a bit of a fool, and he threatened that, yes, somebody said to him, surely, be to God, you're not going to take the roof off of the fairy's dwelling with that spade. He said, look, there was no fairies where I came from, or if there was, the famine put them going. I'll set spuds where I like. And he said, moreover, if they interfere with me, I'll take the skin off of them with that, and shown up his new spade. It is a long story, but I'll tell you this much. He didn't take the skin off of the fairies. It was they took the skin off of him. And not just the skin, but the hair and the teeth and the nails. Bit by slow bit, they killed him until they did kill him. It's a gruesome, horrible story. I tell you, you don't interfere with those lads if you respect your life.
Okay, I have to ask you, if you're walking down a country road at night, you're a little worried about some fairies out there who are not so nice, what can you do to protect yourself?
A number of things, because there's logic in everything, even if it's strange logic. There's five or six different things that will protect you against the fairies, because they have their fears every bit as much as humans have their fears. Salt. Something holy. A cross, crucifix, holy water, a scapular, whatever it might be. Something dirty. Steel. That's four, I think. Something red. A piece of red cloth, a piece of red thread was another one that was guaranteed. Farmers used often carry a little bit of red thread tied onto the winkers of their horses. Likewise, people playing football or whatever, they'd wear something red just to ward off the badness, as they might see, of something invisible tripping them up.
Now, we are just about out of time, but I think we have time for one last story, a short story, if one comes to mind.
All right, and I can tell you, this is not in the book. It was intended to be, but we ran out of space, and it just shows there's another bookload of stories in the tapes I have on my shelves at home. But this woman saw it with her own eyes, so I have no reason to disbelieve her. A neighbour of hers, dead now, but this woman, everybody knew she was gone with the fairies. And had the power of going with them. And the reason they knew was she could tell things about you, your most private business. She would know it in such a way that would frighten you. She could tell you casually what you had been doing such a night in a place where she wasn't there at all, but she'd know you were there. Now, she had three daughters, grand girls, finest of girls. They could keep house well, they could do farm work well. Anything girls could do, they could do it. But anyway, this particular morning, there was this fierce tatarara entirely, and the three daughters came running across the field in a terrible state. Come, quick, come over, our mother. That's, what's wrong? Our mother is dead. Oh, yes, they were terrible sorry to hear that, you know, but you know what to do, you know, prepare the house, get ready for the wake and clean up the corpse and the rest of it and dress the bed and get out the new clothes. You know what to do. No, they said, come over, quick. They were in a terrible state. And, oh, anyway, they came over. And the three daughters were outside the bedroom and wouldn't go in. And she says, what's wrong with you? And they said, look inside. So she went in, opened the door and went in. And there she saw, on the bed, the old woman dead and covered with this crawling mass of black, like black beetles. And within about 5 seconds, gone. Now, she was left there standing. She remembers it, she says, to this very day. That's 40 years ago, she said, but she remembers it to this very day. Now, she said, all right, she had to get ready, the old woman. The daughters wouldn't touch her, their own mother, they wouldn't touch her. But she had to get her laid out and ready for the wake and all the burial and all the rest of it. But she did it, much against her will, but she did it after what she had seen. But she is convinced to this very day that there were no black beetles. They were the fairies. back for her, taking her. For the power that they had given her during her life, this was the payback time. And she says, to this very day, I'm not sure what we buried. Was that her, or something left by the fairies that looked like her?
Eddie Lenehan, talking with Steve Paulson. Lenehan's the author of Meeting the Other Crowd, the fairy stories of hidden Ireland.